A happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this fifth day of October 2024. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another precious time in which we can come apart from the cares and perplexities of life and receive the blessing and fellowship together in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I pray that each one will open their heart to allow Jesus to come in and abide with them and partake of the rich bounty of his truth today. So welcome, dear ones. And before we get into our study book, who would like to offer opening prayer for our service? Please go right ahead.
If we could all bow our heads and our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee, we thank You for this opportunity, dear Father God, to be able to see another day, dear Father. We thank You so very much for all the answered prayers that You have wrought for us, dear Father God. Thank You for working a miracle in all of our lives, dear Father God, even though things are besetting our individual families and friends and our loved ones, we are all connected through Thee, and an answered prayer for one is the answered prayer for all, dear Father. And we thank You for Your loving mercies upon us, dear Father. Please forgive our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body known and unknown, dear Father God. We pray for Your continuous, dear Father, because You never stop to shed Your mercy upon us. We pray for Your continuous healing in our lives, both mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, dear Father God. I pray that if it is Your will that not one of us may be able to not come before Thee asking for Your will to be done in our lives before the closing of our eyes, or I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You please be with those people that are dealing with the loss of loved ones that are mourning today, dear Father God. For all the devastations that we are beholding, dear Father, around the world, dear Father, we know that the time and the hour is near, though we know not when we see the signs of the times, dear Father. Help us, dear Father God, not to be sleepy, not to be in slumber, but to be diligent in searching Your words, dear Father God, that we may come ever closer to Thee, standing in faith, dear Father, no matter how slim it is, dear Father God. Please continue to be with this church family, be with those that are here, those that are not here, wherever they may be. I pray for a speedy recovery for those, dear Father, that are overcoming surgeries and illnesses, dear Father God, I pray. Continue to be their healer. Continue to be their physician. Continue to keep them and put a hedge around them, dear Father God, I pray. And I pray for us continuously, one for each other, dear Father. We thank You and we love You. Please be with the words that we're about to learn. May we be vigilant. May we be upright. May we be healthy, dear Father, that we may receive Your words of truth and inspiration in our hearts, in our minds, and may our spirit, dear Father, be elevated. Help You send Your heavenly angels to encamp about each and every one of us. Stabilize the internet, dear Father God, that nothing may be lost, that the words may not be interrupted, dear Father, that they may be planted deep in our heart souls. We thank You and we love You because You're so merciful, dear Father. There's so much to be thankful for. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And we are continuing in our study book. This is Christ Object Lessons. We're in chapter 25, the longest chapter in the book. And this chapter is titled Talents. We left off last time about a third of the way down on page 330. To the paragraph that begins, "The Lord has." And while we've been discussing this subject of talents, we've discovered that there's a lot more talents than what people had considered to be possible. We saw that time was a talent, and how many people look at time as really being a talent that God has blessed them with. But it is. So as we continue to discover what classifies as talents, you'll begin to understand that every person in the world has most likely more than just one. So the last things that we were discussing before we ended last Sabbath was however many talents you have, whether it's 20, 10, 5, 2, or even just one. The question is not so much how many or how few you have, but how are you using the talents you do have? Are you developing your talent to the very best ability? If you are, who are you devoting that talent to? To yourself or to God? Are you using that talent to glorify God and to help your fellow mankind? Or are you using it for other purposes? If we're not using the talents that God has blessed us with, being responsible steward of these talents to God, then when he calls us to account in the judgment, how have you used the talents I've given you? What are we going to be able to say in response? So it's important that we recognize what talents we have, that we recognize the strengths and the weaknesses of these talents, and build up the weaknesses to where they're strong and no longer weak. But we have to utilize what talents God's blessed us with to God's glory. And also utilize these talents in helping one another, in benefiting mankind, in revealing Christ to those around us. That way we'll be able to do the greatest amount of good that we're capable. And of course, relying upon God's grace and strength in all areas. So that's where we left off last time. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. Again, it's about a third of the way down on page 330. The Lord has a great work to be done, and he will bequeath the most in the future life to those who do the most faithful, willing service in the present life. The Lord chooses his own agents, and each day under different circumstances, he gives them a trial in his plan of operation. In each true-hearted endeavor to work out his plan, he chooses his agents not because they are perfect, but because through a connection with him, they may gain perfection. So there's several things in this paragraph that are of importance, but are there any thoughts or comments, any questions before we get into this in more detail? Please go right ahead.
In thinking about talents, sometimes you have hidden talents that you know nothing about. And later on, when these talents are exposed because you've stepped out in faith, it's amazing how you see that God has worked in your life. And praise God for the talents he has given each one of us is different. We have different talents that can be brought to use in his service. And I think one of the talents that most of us possess when we're young is being afraid to speak up. And you have an idea, but you don't say anything because you think you might be seen as stupid or like, I don't know. I remember as a young person, I was very shy. And I just had a lot of ideas, but I never spoke up. And then God worked in my life, and I began to feel that these ideas I had were worth something because God was there, and he helped me see it. So if you're shy and you're afraid to speak up sometimes, give it to God. The Holy Spirit will speak it for you, and you'll find out that you have a lot of hidden talents that can be used for God.
Amen. Amen. And that's a fantastic point, is that you may have talents that God has blessed you with that are hidden, as you mentioned. And it's only by utilizing a talent you already know about that God may awaken to your understanding or to your knowledge these other hidden talents that haven't yet been utilized or recognized. So by using and sharing, you're enabled to gain more. So excellent point. Any other comments or thoughts, dear ones?
I've been listening to the various sermons and talents, and it's one of the things that I've always struggled with, and one of the things that I've always said, I'm praying to the Lord to know what my talents are and how I'm supposed to use it. And I'm like, I'm just not hearing back from him on this piece. But in listening to this, these studies, it has become a little bit clearer to me about the talents and the many talents, things that we've never considered to be talents. And it has been a blessing. And to our dear Sister Joan's point, going through life, you're just thinking, what we've become to learn that is not by our will, but what the Lord instill in us for us to be able to do and bless others with a simple act of kindness, speaking up on behalf of something or, you know, just doing things that you just think that is just for you that you're doing. You don't recognize that is the Lord giving you the ability to have that talent. And this past week, by God's grace, I had a coworker that was leaving the job, and she scheduled time to like speak with me. And her and I never worked so closely together. It was just that we would get into like a meeting or meetings with other team members, and things would be going. And she just said, you know, I didn't get to work very close with you, but I just want to let you know just how much I appreciate you. Sometimes when there's things to be said, and you know, that no one is able to say, you pick up the mic and you say it. And I'm like, me? Little old me? And it's just amazing that you don't recognize some of these things that the Lord implant within you to do as talents. And by listening to this sermon, that has brought it out a little bit more, these little gems that the Lord revealed in you and used you to do. So that is a very true statement, Sister Joan, that you brought out.
Amen. So this paragraph starts out saying the Lord has a great work to be done. Where is that work to be done? Obviously, willing service in the present life. But notice that it states that those who do the greatest work, the most, will have the most in the future life. He will give more to those who are the most faithful in this present life. And this is part of God's great work to be done. So this sentence here is not just talking about the work to be done on this earth. It's also talking about the work that can be done on the new earth throughout the unfallen universe. That's why God bequeaths the most in the future life to those who accomplish the most faithful, willing service in this life. So that means that when we complete our work in this life and we enter into the future life, there's more to be done. And if you gave willing service in this life, you'll give willing service in the next life. So our work here doesn't stop once we enter into eternal life. This is just the beginning. And can you imagine how much work you could accomplish if you had a perfect recall, if you had a perfect knowledge and understanding of the truth, and you never grew weary, you didn't have to sleep, you had energy that could never be exhausted, and you were able to travel vast distances in a short time? So this is just the beginning of our work. And if faithful in giving willing service, God will bequeath even more ability to us, more talents, so that we can then utilize these in a tremendously greater way in giving glory to God and benefiting those that we come into contact with. Amazing thought, isn't it? So if you're faithful in that which is least in this present life, you'll be entrusted with much more in the future life. And God knows you will be faithful. Any thoughts, comments before we continue in this paragraph?
As usual, I'm thinking of talents. What is a talent? Sometimes a talent is not recognized because the talent doesn't show up as something musical or something that's artwork, any of the things that cause you to be awed. And by awed, I mean A-W-E-D, not O-D-D. But a peacemaker is a talent. If you find that you can make someone happy with something you've done, like using your camera to capture something beautiful and share it with others. That's a talent. So talents come in quiet, subtle ways. You may be have so much talent and not even recognize it, but people like to have you around because you make them feel better. So you restore people's faith in God. That's a talent. Sharing God with others, that's a talent. So there are many, many hidden talents, and God can wake them up in all of you and help you recognize them.
Amen. Amen. The comment in the room says a person's very presence is a talent. And that's true because each individual has a particular kind of influence over others. Influence over others can be looked upon as a talent. How are you utilizing that influence? Some people have what has been termed charisma. It's like people are drawn to want to be near them. That is a talent. Their influence can be utilized for good or bad. Everyone has an influence, has that talent. So how are you utilizing that influence? How are you affecting others that are near you? It's either for good or bad. So amen. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay, let's continue. The next sentence says, the Lord chooses his own agents. Now, what does that mean? If we're part of a church group, God is the one responsible for choosing who holds various responsibilities in that home church. And how do we know who God chooses? Any ideas?
I think we are all chosen agents of God.
Amen. We are all chosen of God for a purpose. That's why he allowed us to have life in just such a time as this. So the very fact that we're alive in these last days is not by chance. It's because God allowed it to occur. Okay? So here the Lord has chosen each and every human being born on this earth in this day and age for a purpose. He's chosen them to be heirs of salvation, to be connected with Jesus Christ, to become his witnesses, his co-laborers. So here we are in a home church. We're fellowshipping together. it's not my responsibility to say, okay, Brother Joe, I want you to be our choir director. Or Sister Amy, I want you to be the singer for the group, right? It's not my responsibility to do that because I don't have the authority to choose whom God uses in this home church. God is the one responsible for choosing. So then how do we recognize that God has chosen Sister Amy, if she was here, to be the singer for the group or to lead out in singing? How do we know that? By their fruits ye shall know them. Now, we've looked at that sort of in the negative way. Okay, well, if someone is sinning, but they're trying to hide the fact that they've sinned, well, we'll know that they're sinning because of their actions. Okay, but you can also utilize that in understanding that God would give Sister Amy the talent of singing. That's how we would know that God had given her that gift, chose her to be his agent, to minister to others through song. So the Lord chooses those whom he will choose, and he gives them or awakens within them certain talents and gifts that benefit one another. We're to recognize the talents and gifts that God has blessed every individual in this home church so that we can then recognize that God has chosen them to lead out in song, to give their discernment. That's a talent. Discerning between good and evil, between truth and error. Allow them to have their voice and to fill the position for which God has chosen them to fill based on their talents, their fruits. So God chooses his agents. And when you have a organization that decides they're going to choose, then it's an upside down organization, isn't it? Different than what God would want. God chose 12 disciples. The church didn't choose those. Christ did. So when you have an organization or when you have individuals that believe they have the knowledge and wisdom to decide where someone goes and works, what they're going to do for that day, how they're going to do it for that day, then they're taking control away from God and putting it into their own finite, erring, fallible hands. So we're to recognize the talents that God has blessed each and every one of us with. And we're then to recognize the positions of authority or the, whether minor or major, right? The positions in which God would have them fill in this home church. And it can extend beyond the home church. It can be dealing with a family. It can be dealing with a community. So we need to recognize the talents that God has blessed us individually with, and then we need to recognize the talents that God has blessed others with so that they can be utilized to the very best manner in bringing blessing to others, edifying to others, and in turn being blessed and edified ourselves. Any thoughts or comments?
Yeah, I was thinking about trials that we go through. Sometimes it's so terrible to us that we're experiencing something very disagreeable. It's hard to get through it. You don't feel happy. Unless you look at it a different way. If you look at it like God's in charge, I'm going through this to teach me something. What is it that I need to learn? And you open up your heart and maybe your eyes and you start thinking along a different path. You realize I'm going through this trial because there's something that God wants me to do and He wants me to be able to do it perfectly. It kind of takes the sting out of whatever you're going through at that time. Maybe it's to teach you to be more vigilant in caring for your automobile or whatever, but maybe it's to teach you that God loves you individually and to help you rely on Him more than you do to see God in everything and recognize His great love for you. And tell others about it. We go through experiences so we can share with others. It's always about sharing.
Amen. So God chooses those whom He will work with. He chooses His own agents. Man does not have a right to choose whom God is going to use. God chooses. And those whom God chooses to be His agents, He gives particular gifts, talents to. And then notice that it says, after God chooses His own agents, that every day God will allow different circumstances to occur that are a trial. And this is part of His plan of operation. Every day God will allow different situations to occur like a trial. And what's the purpose of this trial? What's the purpose of these different circumstances that occur each day? Any idea? Amen. To trust in God more. True. True. Any other thoughts?
To test our faithfulness.
Amen. To test our faith. Yes. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Amen. Amen. Comment says, allow our talents to grow. Amen. Another comment, to know more of Him. Amen. So God let's say God chooses Sister Amy as his agent. He awakens within her different talents. How are those talents awoken within her? God allows different circumstances to occur each day that are like a trial, which means how is she going to respond to these different circumstances day by day? She, of course, would recognize that these are a trial. It's not something she planned, right? And God allowed it for a reason, which means she has to go to God for the wisdom to know why. She also has to go to him for the grace and the strength to gain the victory in this trial, which means she's forced to use different talents in order to handle different circumstances in the way God would have her handle them. If God never allowed different circumstances and trials to occur, then her talents would remain unused or very weak and would never become strong, or she would not recognize she had a particular talent to deal with that particular circumstance. So it's part of God's plan of operation to allow his agents to become the most faithful, willing servants in his kingdom. And that occurs day by day, handling different circumstances, different trials that God allowed in order to increase her faith in him, her trust in him, and to grow more proficient, to allow her talents to be built up and become strong, or to be recognized and then utilized. So God doesn't say, you know, you need to recognize that you have the talent of being able to speak to others in an intelligent way and present the truth to them in the best possible fashion so that they understand. And because you have that talent and yet you're not able to speak very well, well, you know, I'm going to give you a break of 10 years. Well, how is that going to allow her ability to speak to others to become strong instead of weak if God says, well, you know, I'm going to wait? We're in the last days, right? Time is ticking on by. So God says, you have that talent. I see what you can become if you will just trust in me and look to me for help in every time of need. And I'm going to allow you to have this small little trial today. And I'm going to be right there to help you. But you need to look to me for help. It's here. I'm willing to give it to you more abundant than you need to overcome that trial. But you have to ask for it. And so God allows that trial to come day by day so that that talent can be built up. It can grow. It can increase. And instead of being a very timid evangelist, you now, through Christ, can become one of the greatest evangelists. Not because you're able to talk to a greater amount of people, but because you're able to utilize that talent in the best possible way to reach a heart. That's the greatest evangelist, to be able to touch a heart. Can you see the wisdom, the mercy, and the compassion of our God to each one of us? He sees what we can become through Jesus. And he's anxious that we get there as fast as possible, right? And so he allows these different circumstances, sometimes more than one a day, to help develop our talent to the very best possible ability to use in willing service to him in benefiting others. How are we dealing with these different circumstances each day? Do we complain because he gave us too many? Do we wonder why they came right now and thus begin to doubt his love for us? Or believe he's not wise enough and he gave us something we really don't need? Or are we going to humbly say, thank you, Lord, help me to respond in the best possible way and thus grow? Amen. That's a good way to look at it. Comments says, my coworkers told me, you do not go through trials just for yourself. You go through them for others also. One day your trials will be your testimony. Amen. Any other comments or thoughts or questions, dear one?
Can I give a testimony based on something very similar to what was placed in the room? When I came to New York 2017, I really didn't know what God was going to do. I was wondering why I was here. And in my own special time that I had with the Savior, I keep asking him, why every time when I'm leaving, you keep bringing me back? But at that moment, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I didn't know that my family was going to go through different crises, which at the time, because you don't see it, you don't think nothing was going to be wrong. From 2017 until today, I had my two parents that was going to go through something that was very difficult. And I have my families, all of them have different professions. And sometimes you just feel that you cannot, oh, you don't really have what it takes to be able to do anything. But I have realized that there is nothing any one of us can prepare ourselves for what God has in store. He knows exactly what he's going to place in you. He knows what spirit you're going to need. He knows what circumstances you are going to go through. And while I was here observing certain things and crying out to God, please, Lord, I don't know how that's going to happen. Please help me. I don't know how to do it. But you leave that prayer and you just go on your way. And little do you not know that the Lord was working it out in a way you would have never thought. I used to take my mom to the different appointments and things like that and see different things that was very unnerving. But when the Lord was ready for it, I realized that, can I do this? Can I do this with my dad? Can I do it with my mom? But do you know something? The Lord gave you a spirit that you didn't even know you had. And you were able to do things that at that very time, you said you were not prepared. But God knows you were prepared. When I went and took my mom
come to the phone appointment, I started to notice something was really wrong with the practice of the individual. But I noticed it wasn't only my mom that was under that practice, it was also my sisters. Do you know that the Lord in time had made a way that my family was able to see that something was wrong? And praise God, with the afflictions that we did have, many things were supposed to be done for the purpose of their health. I just thank God that sometimes He may not tell us, because maybe if He had showed us way before, we would have seen it was too much to be able to do and we would run away from it. But the Lord in His grace, He's such a loving Father. And sometimes you feel the slow heart to be able to do it. But I thank God that in 2017 until today, because who knows, maybe with all these things that had happened with the pandemic and things like that, the Lord had a perfect work, a work that we could have never even tried to even fathom how to do, a work that only He can do. So the testimony here was that every time when I used to come back from my mom, the only person that could have seen it, I would have never thought. My niece started to say, "Hey, Tia, are you okay?" And I couldn't say anything. So just tears was coming down my eye, you know. And I couldn't even believe that this little girl was going to just say one little word for me to be so emotional about it. But I didn't talk to her. I sat with my other sister. And I was talking to her and I was telling her the little experience that I had. But I didn't know how it was going to happen. When the Lord was ready, I had just came back from my mom's house. It was almost 2:47 in the morning. And I was thinking that I was going to sleep. And imagine, in your body, you're tired. You don't even know if you have the strength to go anymore. But do you know, my sister was moved that morning to call the insurance to be able to see if we can do something about my mom. But guess what that nurse said? "I want you to take your mother to the emergency today." Imagine, I just came back and I said, "Lord, I don't know who's going to take them, because my body said I'm going to sleep. But the spirit say you're going to take her." So then I said, "Oh, I'm going to call my mom and wake her up. Oh, my father, my mom is not going to say, I ain't going anywhere." So then I called my mom. I said, "Mom, we're going to have to go to the doctor." She said, "What are we going to the doctor for?" I said, "Mommy, it's your insurance. You're going to have to go." I tell you, from the time that I walked out my sister to go back, all of a sudden there was a song that was burst out of my spirit. And I was singing it all through from the time that I left my sister till I got to my mom. And I was saying, "I don't know how we're going to move her." The Lord sent two gentlemen. And these, He said, He just picked up the call. And they are, besides the ambulance, they have also the fire department. So it's like the fire department ambulance that came. These two young men, they were so gentle to my mom. Because I don't feel that I had even more strength to do anything. They took care of her. They waited for us. We went to the hospital. And when we went to the hospital, as I came into the emergency room, just as I walked in and the doors opened, there was a family that was coming out of the first room. And there was a sorrow that was coming out of that room. And the people were crying. And I felt like somebody basically drew me close to the family. And I started to ask, "Is everything okay? Do you need help?" And the girl fell on my shoulder. And then the little boy that was 8 years old came to the other side and held on to me. Then I saw the people that was coming out of the room. There were so many that was coming out of the room that one of the brothers said, "We just lost our father." And here I have my hands filled with all these individuals just crying. I kept saying to myself, "What can I tell them? Father, please put the words in my mouth that I can't be able to speak." And my mother is going in with the two gentlemen going into the emergency room, and I am in the middle of having this family, and praise God, there was Spanish, and I started to be able to speak to them and just tell them that I'm very sorry. And at that moment, I just kind of came to, oh my goodness, I have to go with my mom. So as I go with my mom and I'm walking towards her, there was a, I don't know if it was a doctor practitioner. He came to my mom and he had to tell, you know, like to do the vital. And he sticked her, and my mother sat up on the gurney and he said, have mercy. And in my mind, in that moment, I said, my father, why didn't I react it? But I know that the Spirit of God was there, because I couldn't even react towards the treatment that they did to my mom. As we continue moving, as soon as we got to the area they was going to place her, there was a young lady. I could see she was really young, not knowing that she was a mother of two with colossus. They have something to do with the spinal. And she was crying in pain. And again, as I'm standing there just hearing her mourn, it was so difficult to the point that you couldn't even stop a way to be able not to hear. And I found myself going to the mother and I said, would you like me to pray for her? The lady said, please. And I go towards where she is, held her hand, just started to pray. But even the prayer that was coming out, I knew it was a prayer that is something that I didn't even know what I was going to pray. I don't even remember, but one thing I do remember is when I told the young lady, they are going to give you something, but it is not that that is going to bring you the calmness of the pain, but it's the Lord that will be the one to do deeper than what it is that you're going to receive. But I didn't know how fast it was going to be. At that very moment, I removed myself, and my mother was silent on the gurney. They moved her and put her on the bed. And then all of a sudden, the lady stopped crying and she went into asylum. She started to mourn. I said, Lord, please don't make nothing happen to this lady, because I just finished praying for her. And then a doctor came like way after. So then she kept saying, what happened? My daughter just stopped crying. And he said, oh, no, we had to give her a little bit of pain medication. So the mother was sitting saying, but we was here for such a long time. She wasn't supposed to be in this hospital. She was supposed to be to a hospital that is conducive to her condition. But it just happened that they brought her there. In that very emergency, there were so many people crying. But you know what I noticed? There was a Muslim behind one of the sheets that was praying. And then there was a Jewish guy that there was a holiday and he was asking how he could be able to pray in that situation there. And then they had some nurses right there. And I had my dear sister, our Christian sister, on the phone, and we were dealing with something that was happening to her daughter. It happened that that sister heard, so why don't you pray for everyone? But dear brethren, for the life of me, I didn't hear that. But it was so amazing how it was not for what I had to do with my mom. Who knows for the individual that was there that day. And the Lord just used the circumstances to bring not only peace, but relief. And I just wanted to share.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Yeah, it was not your intention that day to have to take your mom to the ER, but God allowed different circumstances to occur for the purpose of you being able to witness, to help, to minister to others, not just your mom, but to others. And that would have never happened if God didn't allow those different circumstances to occur on that day. So if we have plans of what we want to do in a particular day, and God allows different circumstances to occur that changes our plans, we need to recognize that God has a very good reason why. And then we need to trust him and deal with these other circumstances. So there's nothing wrong in planning what you want to do for each day, but we need to allow God to have the control of each day. He knows best. We don't. He knows the future. We don't. Amen. It's all in his timing. And we need to allow him the freedom to arrange each day according to his perfect wisdom. Which means we need to submit to him and then go with what he allows. And what is God trying to build in us? If we submit to him, trust, faith, humility, patience, all of those talents are being built, growing. But of course, if we don't handle it the right way, then we're losing the opportunity to grow in the proper way. Yeah, amen. A comment says, and if your body can't, then God will bring what needs to happen so it can be accomplished. What a savior. Amen. A lot of times singing is, it has a rejuvenation effect upon the body. So you may be dead tired, but if you start to sing, even if it's just in your mind, it allows the body to respond in a way that rejuvenates your energy. Yeah, or he'll provide help. Yeah, amen. Now, there's a very simple remedy to bring energy back to a lethargic state. And that is just putting lemon in a glass of water. Lemon juice has a rejuvenating effect upon the body. And so if you find yourself run down, if you find yourself fighting an infection or a sickness or a cold, put lemon in your water. And it's a natural pick me up, if you will. It has no adverse side effects. And it will indeed bring you back to life in an energetic way. Any other thoughts or comments, questions, dear one?
Well, you touch upon something because I couldn't take my lemon water that morning. I had to come out right away, and that's one thing that we do. As soon as we get up, we take 1 tablespoon of fresh lemon juice with 9 tablespoons of distilled water, and it does. But that day, Eldorado, I just was coming to sleep, and the Lord turned us around. So it wasn't the lemon juice. That lemon juice was Jesus at that time.
So the Lord chooses his own agents, gives them circumstances that are like a trial each day so that they may be able to grow and become more proficient in whatever talents are being focused upon. But that's not all. This paragraph also brings out that we're to be true-hearted in endeavoring to carry out his plan. Not half-hearted, true-hearted. In other words, it's our motive to give as much glory to God as possible each day. And if that's your motive, then God will indeed enable you to grow in grace each day. But the agents that God chooses are not perfect. Was Peter perfect when Christ chose him to be his disciple? No, Peter had a lot of problems. So Christ didn't choose Peter because he had the problems, but because he saw that by Peter becoming connected with him, Peter would gain perfection. That's the key, dear ones. Each and every one of us are imperfect. We all have problems with the flesh. Some have greater problems than others. Some have problems that no one ever sees, but they know about. God sees it. But each and every agent that God chooses is imperfect. And so from a human perspective, why would God choose that individual? Man, doesn't he know how bad they are? But God doesn't look at the current badness. He looks into the future and he sees what that person could become if they connect with Christ. So God deals with us so differently than what humans deal with their fellow human beings. God chooses us because he sees what we can become. Amen. Thank you, God. And we have to recognize that God sees the future. So if God is calling you or awakening within you a particular talent and gift, trust him. Work with him. And that talent, that gift, will grow to perfection. Because there's nothing imperfect in Christ. And if you connect with Christ and grow in him, you're growing in perfection. And what a merciful God he is. And how so unlike him we are. But we can become more and more like him each day as God allows different circumstances to come to us, different trials, so that we may be able to grow more like Christ in perfection. Praise God, dear ones. Each and every one of us can become just like Christ. And there's no age requirements. That means a young child can become like Christ. An old individual can become like Christ. Youth, middle age, every one of us can become like Christ. If we have a true-hearted purpose to be like Christ in character. Any other thoughts or comments, insights, dear ones, questions, please go right ahead.
my thoughts went back to a time when I was very young, a child, and someone had put on an Easter egg hunt, and my cousins, I had two boy cousins at that time that we were visiting. It was more fun for me to point out where the eggs were so they could find them. I wasn't putting any in my basket because I was having so much fun finding the eggs and telling them where they were and to see how much fun they were having getting the eggs. And my mom came to me, "Joan, you need to put those eggs in your basket." But I guess I did. I don't remember. What stands out in my mind was the fun seeing my cousins find the eggs and put them in their basket and the looks of joy on their faces. But I think even at that young age, a child, God can put that feeling of making others happy in your hearts. And God has free will with a child. There aren't any obstacles, say, put in, that's in a child's mind. It's just pure happiness in seeing others happy.
Amen. And that is a talent, wanting to help others, wanting to make others happy. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one? So God chooses us while we are yet imperfect, so that by being connected with Jesus, we may grow into perfection. So that means each and every individual here listening is imperfect. But by being connected to Christ, we all can become perfect. That's a process, isn't it? Growing in perfection, growing in sanctification. So each and every one of us are on an equal basis. We all need to grow from being imperfect to now becoming perfect in Christ. So we all have the same goal, perfection in Christ Jesus. So as we need to grow, so our brother and sister needs to grow. So then, how are we to help them grow? If we focus everything on ourselves, then we're not carrying out the last six commandments, are we? So we're also to help one another grow from imperfection to perfection. And that's only possible with a connection to Jesus. So instead of focusing on the imperfection in others, we need to focus on how they can become perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, the devil wants to turn that around. He wants us to focus on the imperfection of others to keep them from becoming connected with Christ and thus from becoming perfect. So God looks at us in imperfection, and he sees what we can become, perfect. We need to follow that example. So when we look at one another, we're not to focus on their imperfections. We're to focus on how they can become perfect by being connected with Jesus. So if we see that they've stumbled and thus have lost their connection with Jesus, we need to help them regain that connection. Because as long as they have no connection with Jesus, they have no way of becoming perfect or of overcoming that imperfection. So the focus with helping sinners is to bring them to Jesus. The focus with helping other church members, other Christians, is to bring them to Jesus. So that by being connected with Him, they can overcome and no longer be in a fallen state. The devil wants to turn it around. He wants us to focus on their imperfection and then try to keep them imperfect, try to keep them from connecting with Jesus. And human beings are some of the best ways of keeping other human beings from being connected with Jesus. But with our connection to Christ, human beings connected with Christ are the best way of getting other human beings to also be connected with Jesus. So if you yourself have no connection with Christ, there's no way you're going to be able to help someone who has fallen into sin become connected with Jesus so that they may overcome. There's no way. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a Seventh-day Adventist, a remnant, or any other church name. It doesn't matter. If you yourself have no connection to Jesus, you cannot help anyone else be connected to Jesus. So you can see that the very first work is to make sure you're connected to Jesus. To grow in grace, to handle each different circumstance God allows each day, to grow in grace. And then you can lend a helping hand to others to become connected with Jesus and to also grow in grace. Remember, that beam has to be moved from your eye before you can help another individual deal with that tiny little speck that they can't see. The first work is for you to be connected to Jesus. Then you can help others. Quite a lot in this one paragraph, wasn't there? There's so much more that can be shared. But we've run out of time for this particular part of our service. Yeah, amen. We can do all things, help others through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Well, next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph that starts out, God will accept only those. And we'll find out who that only those are next time. And that's about halfway down on page 330 in Christ Object Lessons. So praise God, dear ones. Each and every one of us has been chosen of God to be His agent. And He has all the grace and the strength needed for us to handle the different circumstances each day that He allows so that we may grow more like Christ. And who would like to have our closing prayer? Please feel free to.
Thank you, dear Father, for these lessons. Thank you for the ability to hear them. and to put them in our heart. Thank you for loving each one of us and helping us to find our talents. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to impress upon our minds what we need to receive from these words. Be with us in the next section. And again, please send the Holy Spirit to help us to take in the truth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So again, next time we'll pick it up about the middle of page 330 to the paragraph that starts out, God will accept only those. And let's take a 15-minute break and then return back here at 20 after 12 Pacific or 20 after 3 Eastern for our main church service.